All right. Well, we have a lot to get to.
That we do.
And Boston Red Sox, game one yesterday, tied the franchise record, 15 consecutive wins, Wiggy.
Yep.
It was honestly an awesome moment. I was wary myself personally, and as I was watching what was going on at Fenway Park yesterday, I was wary of over-celebrating a win streak because it's akin to the Colts putting up division winning banners or
right.
whatever. But
peaking too early.
But I'm not worried about that. I'm just when it comes to what you're celebrating, it's awesome, and the turnaround is the big part of it. So I get that. There were many of us who had this team deader than Paul Anka just a month ago. So I understand the excitement, but you don't want to go too crazy when you are celebrating winning 15 in a row. But they get there, and then unfortunately, it was too much.
Yeah,
and they were unable to get the sweep last night. So.
It was a great environment. I was there last night.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, how was it? You were there for the second game.
Yeah, it was a great, great environment. Wife and I went with some friends. I think she might be the curse of the Boston.
No. I think it's you.
No.
Listen, there were more people than I thought that were concerned about Chad Tracy being on the show yesterday because of the Hillman jinx.
Oh.
And I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit concerned about it as well. But the way I see it, Chad Tracy's on yesterday. Awesome guy, by the way.
Yeah.
Great interview. And they go on to win that game yesterday afternoon. So
yeah.
there is absolutely no jinx scenario there whatsoever.
No, and you spotted the O's four runs in the first inning, and then Bayo came in and did an amazing job. It's one of those things to me it wasn't could they win again or could they break the record. To me, I feel like the biggest thing with this team is now you lose a game, you've dealt with so much adversity all season long, and you've been on this amazing high. How do you then, after the loss, recoup moving forward? So for me, I'm going to look at it, or you can get back to, maybe you're not going to go on another 15 in a row, but if you can get back to winning another series or two series, like the consistent winning after this is more important than setting the record, in my opinion.
They were bound to lose one at some point. And so, and the one they lost after the streak is to a good baseball team. So they ought to be able to get it back together. I mean, I was somewhat interested that Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray addressed the team after the loss last night, not Chad Tracy. Chad Tracy let the veteran guys do it. And actually, Sean, if you have it, Wilson Contreras was asked about what he told the guys last night.
Yeah, I think I don't want anybody to feel down, number one. I want everybody to feel proud of what we did. We tied a record since 1948, something like 46. I mean, that's not easy to do. We make history. We play good baseball for two weeks or more, and we just lost one game. I mean, winning and losing is part of the game. I didn't want anybody to feel down, but I want everybody to feel proud.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So
he's the heart and soul of that team. You could tell
he is.
You could tell even just the way that those I think he hit like a double or something like that, and you could see just. Not only does the crowd get into it, but the guys in that dugout, you could tell like he's the heartbeat of that team.
Yeah, and you got to credit Breslow on that. And in fact, we asked him about it a bunch of times in the absence of Alex Bregman, who was going to step up and be the veteran leader on the baseball team.
Good morning.
It seems like it's Wilson Contreras. So, yeah, no, you are. And there's other guys, too. It's like a dirt dog kind of thing.
Right.
We were talking about that the other day. But we'll get to it during They Said It. But what Caleb Durbin said about delivering the streak for this city and for the baseball fans was excellent.
Yeah, the thing about, and we've kind of been talking about this, and I know we probably got a little bit over a week for the trade deadline, but you just start to look at this baseball team and you give Bresbaugh a ton of credit. Now I think his biggest thing is you have to do something to keep the fans, and not only the fans, but I think the team as well, but just to be like, all right, we believe in this team and believe in this team that you guys can win a World Series. And the reason why we believe that, because we're going to add somebody that's going to be a nice pop to the lineup. And so that's the one thing that I'm looking at now for Bresbaugh is I think this team is going to continue to win series, continue to hold on to a playoff spot, continue to fight for the division. But are you going to bring in that extra bat that everybody, and even Tracy said yesterday that everybody knows that you kind of need? Like, I think guys are playing well, but
he said that, but then he also said that you want to be, he went out of his way to talk about the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like the clubhouse vibe,
or right.
He didn't use that word though. Whatever, however he said it, and not being careful about disturbing the
right.
The marinara. Like I do think that if they're looking at moves they can make, that one concern is John Henry and is he going to be willing to add payroll, and the other concern is the better player that you get, the mm-hmm. better veteran player that you get,
mm-hmm.
the more character and attitude that comes with the said player. So
mm-hmm.
that I wonder if there's a concern there when it comes to how big they're going to add.
Well, I think there's always a concern when we asked them that yesterday, and not even going out and getting guys, but even maybe, you know, he talked about guys coming back off injury. Well, you know, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you got to incorporate guys that haven't played in a long time back into a lineup that has been doing well. But I think at the end of the day, when a guy coming from the outside in, the one thing we've noticed about this team over this, you know, like Contreras said, these past several weeks, is that clubhouse chemistry. So I think bringing a guy in, they have a good clubhouse to be able to say, hey, here's how we do things.
781 text. Greg, admit you were wrong about Bregman. I have been wrong about a lot of things mm-hmm. about this baseball team, and I have zero problem admitting when I'm
wrong. I feel like I'm more likely to go on a run than this team is.
Correct. Correct. I have been wrong about a lot of things, mm-hmm. and Craig Breslow intended Wilson Contreras to be the leader of this baseball team, and 617 texter says that Contreras seems like 20 times the leader that Alex Bregman was.
Does things differently. Bregman seemed a little bit more quiet and reserved, where if you go to games and you watch Contreras night in, night out, he plays with that, you know, that fire, and he's more vocal as a leader, but that doesn't mean he's any better, because I always bring up Troy Brown, who didn't really say much and was an unbelievable leader. So, yeah, but his just personality is different. And obviously the production that you're getting from Contreras is much better than what you got from Alex Bregman.
Okay, well, it is me and Wiggy and Shime this morning. Curtis is off, and we have an international observer from the United Nations in the form of Courtney Cox. If you want to make a note, this is when we take a brief commercial break. And when I talk, yes, she's holding up two fingers. Are you going to be communicating that way, or is that the way it's going to go? Okay. All right.
No, I will be spoken to when, no, I will speak when spoken to. Nailed that.
So, Courtney, 2-minute break here. That's what we have. You're writing that down. 2-minute break.
I can't hear anything in here. Sorry.
2-minute break. 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Get to Craig Breslow in the owner's suite. Quick flash of Henry and Linda last night, plus Tom Werner talking on Nesson before the game. So ownership and Breslow all seem pretty pleased with themselves. We'll get to that coming up. Incredible play by Cheng last night, though, to end it.
He's great. He's had a bunch of those recently where you're like, I don't know who else is catching that on the team. They've had a bunch of different shortstops.
I can tell you who's not.
Yeah.
Trevor Story wasn't going to get to it.
No.
Probably not Marcelo Meyer.
No. And like the way the Red Sox are going, they probably would have won it in the bottom of the ninth.
That's true.
Had Cheng not made that play, but that better than he does.
Well, even on the other side, Gunnar Henderson couldn't make a single
play. Oh, my God. So this is the other
What's
piece
going
to
on
it.
With him?
Well, not only that. I mean, he looked fine in the box last night. He had three doubles.
In the box, but overall the season, though.
Oh, he's had a bad season.
Yeah.
Orioles had four errors last night. They could have been charged for more. I think Middlebrooks called it the Fenway ghost is what he was referring to it
I'll
as.
Take it.
Spooky ghost.
They did
Fenway?
Not have that for a while. It was the opposite. The spooky ghost was affecting them at home.
But
earlier.
The Red Sox are making big plays. The Orioles can't field. I did, Keith, for the first time probably since the Red Sox beat the Yankees in the playoffs last year, that first game.
Yeah.
I spent time just scrolling through Twitter, just having a great time.
Yeah.
And it was like, here's Hogdale over here with a hog call.
Hog's having a nice time.
Carrabas on the obstructed views or unobstructed views. You see that? Him and Papelbon and Rizzo
last
live. Night.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they're
exploding.
Perfect game for that.
When Durbin hit the home run. You have the call in the booth from Dave O'Brien and Middlebrooks. You see Middlebrooks' reaction?
They got the camera. He's on his feet hopping around. It's great.
You hear Will.
Yeah.
All-time call last night for Will.
Yes.
So, like... Yeah, you're just scrolling through and you're like, man, everybody's having a good time.
Everyone's
with this
having
baseball
a great time. And a month ago, that did not seem possible.
No.
It did not seem like you'd be. How could you get that excited for a July Red Sox game back in like May, even June?
I heard Ted yesterday say he didn't think people had fully embraced the team. He's like, I'm not really feeling it yet.
Oh, they are. Their arms are all around.
I'm
going to
guess he's singing a different tune today at 2 o'clock because I think it's officially taken over. Last night, if it hadn't already, I would say we're at that point now where people are having a good time with this ball club.
Well, what's funny, it's like this, like, you know, almost like once in a lifetime run that they're on is exactly what needed to happen. Because if you went back a month ago and you're like, how can you get people this fired up about the Red Sox? You would say sarcastically, they're going to have to win like 15 in a row, right? Mm-hmm. Like something someone's saying that like, it's not going to happen. So I'll just throw it out there. But if they do that, then yes, everybody will be back on board. So they win 14 in a row. They are a playoff team right now. And then now I fully embrace the American League stinks conversation. Before, I was like, okay, so do you. Like, it wasn't the reason to be like, hey, still pay attention. They might lose four out of every six games, four out of every six games, but like, they're still kind of in it. It's like, yeah, but they're bad. Now it's like, they're playing a lot better, and there's no obvious favorite in front of them. There's no team in the American League that you're like, oh, this team, they got to go through that juggernaut.
It doesn't exist. There are only four teams in front of them. They just swept three of them. I mean, we spent time on this yesterday. Four-game sweep against the Rays, best record in the AL. Four-game sweep against the Yankees, second-best record in the AL. Three-game sweep in Chicago.
And, like, look at the run.
Against a team that hadn't lost in forever, a series at home. They took three straight against them.
I mean, look at the runs that they're putting up in the games at home here to start the second half. 10, 5, 7, 6, and 6. I mean, there were stretches early in the year where it'd be like 2-1 shutout, 2-2 shutout. Like they couldn't scrape together anything.
No,
and so credit to them and credit to some of these guys that out of nowhere, whether it's somebody like Caleb Durbin who was so bad for so long and now is really good, or if it's somebody that wasn't with the team and now is up in like a spot trying to stay on the team, or old reliable Wilson Contreras having a great season. I'm telling you, the way things are going, he's gonna get MVP votes. Like he's been that good. And then Willie Abreu, like those guys, we agree they still need another bat, but the guys that they have in there right now are doing the job.
Abreu got him going last night. Contreras tied the game at one point. Rafaela tied it at another. Durbin put him in front. We can get to the pitching side of it, but the Red Sox are second in baseball in runs allowed. They've allowed one more run than the Dodgers this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been largely how they've been doing it all year, but the bats have woken up. Here's interim manager Chad Tracy on the turnaround and win streak that the Red Sox are on.
That was unbelievable. It was a heck of an effort. Had to come back multiple times and kept fighting back. It was was a heck of a win.
Sort of making sense of this month. The whole thing.
We're playing good baseball. I know it's hard to win that many games in a row when you're playing good baseball, but we're doing a lot of things right. So I mean, yeah, the number of wins in a row is hard to believe, but it's they're playing, they're giving everything they got, and they're executing, and they're doing a great job.
Okay, so that's Tracy on the way they've been playing
good baseball.
Caleb Durbin's been right at the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
Text line says, "I expect a formal Jones and Keefe
apology to Durbin by the end of the show. You've already, man, you've already done that.
You're soft snitching on yourself there for not listening a couple weeks ago, because I did that.
You already apologized to Caleb Durbin.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't want to go overboard and be like, you know, look out Cooperstown, but I was like, this guy for a while didn't look like he belonged in the majors. And so he has completely changed course on that, because at least his glove was probably keeping him there for a while, and that's not nothing, right? That's valuable. But now he's been hitting, and then when you look at the numbers and you compare him to somebody like, oh, I don't know, Alex Bregman, and you're like, oh, he's kind of doing that. And so we'll see if he is somebody that's like one bad month, one really, really good month, and then sort of like the rest of it in the middle, or is he going to be kind of like real streaky? I don't know. We're not that familiar with the player, right? He had one full season in the majors. That was last year in Milwaukee, where he had a solid year. We looked at it at the time. He was solid. Nothing to get super pumped about, but he got like Rookie of the Year votes. He came in third. So this year, though, now it seems like he's like an obvious guy to be an everyday player, and that's something, because it didn't look like that for a while.
If you were going to give singular credit to manager, GM, ownership, if you wanted to, a player, if you were going to give singular credit for the turnaround, is he the guy you want to give the most credit to? Is there someone else?
You know, even though he missed five games during this winning streak, might be Wilson Contreras, just because I feel like he's the one guy they could rely on, they could lean on. So when other guys were hot and cold, he was that power source in the middle of the lineup. He's also fiery, so say whatever you want about it, like whether he's going to fight people online or not. Like, he's throwing helmets, and you can be like, all right, like, was he really going to fight anybody, or was he just starting something? But I think the team did kind of thrive off of that, and he kind of, like, woke him up, and, like, he's the one guy that's been there, done, or one of the very few guys that has been there, done that on the team. He's had a long career, and he's backing it up. He's been wire-to-wire their best bat. He's really good in the field. And I think just his presence, I think the team has really fed off of that. If you don't have that same personality slash production at the plate, I wonder where the team is right now.
So I think it's fair, and even acknowledging, as you did,
yeah,
they won five in a row right in the middle without him,
which is really impressive.
But, you know, they've won a bunch of games with Tony Seagulls at the top of the lineup.
Yeah.
That was a spark. You know, Abreu is really heated up. Contreras has been in the middle of all of it. Emotionally, I do think he's kind of the leader in the face of it. Durbin's right in there, too. There's a chance he's just legit.
Yeah.
He's not streaky. He's just legit. And it took an adjustment period, or it was a lot of pressure in a new market. But there is a chance he's just legit.
93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Mr. Ted Johnson. You can call us at 617-779-7937. Stiz, were you a big LL Cool J guy? I hear this thing right here. When you were like learning rap, you know, how to, when you were first upcoming in the rap scene, did you respect LL Cool J?
Oh, yeah. When I was a young kid, I used to, you know, play LL Cool J songs, start them and stop them so I could write down the lyrics. I'd wear like one of my pant legs up like LL. Yeah, LL was the man.
He walked around with one pant leg?
Yeah, that was an LL Cool J thing.
What was that about?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that, if I'm not mistaken, the first LL Cool J album was produced in Rick Rubin's dorm room at NYU.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
He did the whole thing in like this tiny ass room. He had a roommate and everything. He was just like a college kid.
Why are people?
And he produced these amazing albums in his dorm room.
Rick Rubin either lost it or people were just like out to get him. He's like Jalen Brown. Every time I see a story on him, it's like Rick Rubin is no longer the man.
What? Oh, really? People don't like Rick Rubin?
I don't know. It seems like
he's just kind of weird. He walks around with no shoes. His hair's all messy.
Like Matt Collins.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. The guy produced Run-DMC and Slayer, and they made their best album. So you got to give the guy a little bit of credit. And Johnny
System
Cash.
System of a Down, too. Johnny Cash, yeah.
Yep, so many great bands. So good on him. Although I will argue that he ruined the Red Hot Chili Peppers because he told Anthony Kiedis that he could sing, which he's not a good singer. All right, but he's a great rapper. The early stuff, he was very good. All right, it is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson. We're in the Catch Us Law Studios. No fee unless you win. And Chad Tracy has been the revelation of this season. I think that once Craig Breslow decided to put his clankers on the table and get rid of Alex Cora, a decision that I think almost across the board most people thought was insanity. Like, especially at that, we're like, what are you doing at this time of the season? You're getting rid of Alex Cora. You know, how could this possibly be? This dude won a World Series here. And then in comes Chad Tracy, and with the same pieces, actually worse pieces because Roman Anthony was injured under his watch, this team has turned it around in a way that I can't remember a team doing anything like this. I mean, we've used the term historic in two different ways in the same season. They were historically bad a month ago. Like, how many times, guys, did we hear or even say, this is the worst Red Sox team I ever remember seeing?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was being debated 5 weeks ago.
Yep, daily.
Yep. And now we're hearing words like history once again and historical in this 15-game winning streak that they've gone through. And just how well they have turned things around is something that you'll remember for a long, long time. And I think a lot of that has to do with Chad Tracy. I'd like to give us a little bit of credit because from the beginning, I think we knew that this guy was good from when he stepped in studio and said, you know what, Rich, Ken, and Ted, you're the kind of guys they're going to bring me to the next level. And we did it.
So, he did say that.
You can always thank us. But what we're learning about him is, you know, he's got a very different method than what Alex Cora had with this team. And there was a caller earlier saying that maybe we've been giving Alex Cora a little too much credit for his time being manager of the Red Sox. I mean, it is pretty wild when you look at the team that won. It was a juggernaut. I mean, I read you some of the roster. I had to go back and look, and once you see it for yourself, when you're living it, you're like, yeah, these guys are good. But Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, Xander Bogaerts, Chris Sale, David Price, Craig Kimbrell, Andrew Benintendi, Rafael Devers. I mean, dude, that lineup is insane.
Yeah.
That's like an all-star game. And then you take a look at, you know, maybe obviously he didn't have the best track record here because, you know, he lost for a lot of the tenure. I mean, he had multiple last place finishes mixed with one ALCS appearance. I don't want to crap on the guy, but I do think that it's a fair thing to look at is, you know, are we giving Alex Cora a little too much credit as being the genius that he was when he was here? You know, the guy had a track record of cheating, so maybe he was using a little bit of that. We don't know.
But even at a base, you could just say he was not quite a fit with this group, and Chad Tracy's a much better fit. But that doesn't mean as this team evolves that Tracy, to me, is 100% the slam dunk, the guy to be. I mean, if they start adding veteran pieces at the deadline and into next year, I don't know. Maybe there's another guy that fits better. I would just wait at least another month to see. If we've had two dramatic shifts already, we could have a third. You know, yeah. What if they lose 15 in a row or something like that? Then you don't want Chad Tracy to be have that interim tag off.
Well, I agree with you too, Ken, is that it wasn't instantaneous when Chad Tracy took over. It wasn't like all of a sudden, boom, they turned things around. It took a while before they, you know, got things on track and with him at the helm. So I agree with you, Ken, on that. I would wait a little bit to have like a really just make my decision. And it doesn't feel like it's a foregone conclusion that Craig Breslow is coming back. A lot of people still think the trade deadline and how they finish is still going to determine whether Breslow keeps a job for next year. And if that's the case, obviously, if you get rid of Breslow, you're not going to retain Chad Tracy. At least that's how I feel like it.
You see, I disagree with you. I think it did happen quick. Alex Cora was fired on April 25th. And think about it. For like the last, 3 weeks to a month, this team's been on fire. So let's go back to like maybe it was like the very end of June. When was the Yankee series? It was like, take a look. It was like the end of June. That's about 5 weeks.
June 25th, yeah. Tracy was 27-31 when they went on that, when they went on the streak, because they went from 14 games back to 7 games back. So 27-31, it was almost 60 games.
He's a nice guy.
So let's say it took a little less than 2 months for everything to turn around from when Chad Tracy's shown up.
Yep.
Doesn't it take that long for the players to start trusting their manager, for the things that the manager is implementing to take hold, for you to get out of your old routines and get into your new ones, to get over the whiplash of having certain people there and then there's another one there? I mean, I would think 2 months is expeditious. Like, that is really fast.
But you're also saying that, assuming that Breslow didn't have influence over Chad Tracy when it comes to, you know, philosophy and how they did things, I just feel like it's more of a Breslow. Did you feel like Chad Tracy had all this power when he got up here? Like he was the one that decided on philosophically how they were going to play and that kind of thing. I mean, the only thing I felt like he really had power over was the daily lineups, but everything else, I feel like that was more,
a little more small ball, maybe. Do you credit Tracy for that? They've definitely bunted a little more.
I feel like that's a Breslow thing, man.
Could be Breslow.
I mean,
Breslow's just a pitching thing. I mean, that's all he is. That's all he cares about. They brought
I think
the new
guys.
If he's a general manager and that's all he cares about, that's a little scary.
I do think that he knew that this was a young group and that he protects them. And I think that they're a fairly sensitive group. We know that. God knows Jaren Duran is very sensitive. They have younger players which tend to be more sensitive than the older veterans. And I believe that he could speak their language. And from this article that came out in the Globe, it does seem like they all felt that they could be themselves. And, like, he doesn't call them out in public with the way Alex Cora did. Alex Cora is kind of bitchy. Alex Cora would get with the press conference like, ooh, who was that shot at? Ooh, man, is it management or was that a player?
It's usually towards management. I think a lot of his ire was kind of directed, I think, subtly and passive-aggressively to the decision makers in the organization, not as much the players.
Do you think, Ken,
real quick, he also used to complain about like wanting other play, like we don't, these are the players we got, you know. It's like he used to almost complain thing. Like definitely. And how do you think that makes you feel if you're a player on the team?
Oh yeah,
but you might like that, like, if he's going to bat for you to go get other guys, especially at the deadline. Now Cora didn't get results last year because he bitched they didn't get anybody good besides Dustin May. But do you think this team now is expecting Breslow to deliver something? Even though I know they're proud of the group they have and they've talked up the young guys that have come up here, now you need a little help, right?
I would think so, yeah. I mean, Ted, I got to think that they've earned it, right?
Yeah, they have. I just don't think this is the kind of group that's going to sit there and if they don't get a big bat, you know, complain and bitch and moan because these guys just, they're 4A players that were just called up. Who are they?
Well, Contreras might.
Okay, there's
he's,
one.
He's a nice guy.
I'm saying there's one, but I'm saying the overall profile of this team, I don't think is this veteran laden team that's been here for a long time, where they have the right to, I don't know, suck their thumb if Breslow doesn't do what they want at the trade deadline.
Hmm. Yeah, you have to think that right now ownership is looking at this, and their intention is unless everything completely goes into the toilet and they do, as you said, Ken, a 15 game losing streak. Tracy's their guy, right? At the end of the season, they're most likely going to sign this guy, right?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they don't.
In fact, I would be a little surprised if they're good into September, if they don't take the interim tag off then. At that point, if you're like convinced you're trending toward a playoff spot, it's probably a good carrot to then stop dangling, right?
Yeah.
We believe in this guy. He's our guy.
That's actually a good time to do it, because I was joking about how if they gave it to him now, like right now, I would almost feel like it was a jinx. It's like,
It feels almost a little too soon. Yeah.
It does. But if you gave it to them, like if they make the playoffs, then that might be a good time to do it. You don't have to, but I could see that being the first appropriate moment to do it.
So wait till they clinch, like officially clinch. Not even like you can't be like 10 games up and jinx it then. You have to wait till they officially clinch a spot.
It just seems like that would be the first appropriate time that didn't feel like they were setting themselves up for a colossal story of failure.
right.
Like the minute you gave it to them, they just got all fat and happy, and now they don't care anymore.
Also, like to clarify, Wiggy, you didn't say you were happy with the Red Sox just being a wild card team, did you? Somebody's texting in furiously.
No, I said that my expectations are that they get to the ALCS.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's like, what an absolute simp Wiggy is.
Mm-mm.
If he's happy with the wild card where they were last year. And
no,
that's not what you said at all.
I think you
have high expectations. Mm-hmm. And your lead this morning, high expectation when it comes to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Like, it's failure if it's not ALCS,
right?
From your perspective,
I look at this team and I look at, because going into the season, the expectation was, oh, this team's good enough to make it to the World Series.
Right? What a simp!
That was the expectation of this team going into this season, and I've always been that they've had the talent. Like, the talent didn't change going into the season; it's been the same guys. It's just, where they were struggling is the guys that they had expectations to be above average major league hitters weren't doing that. Your rotation has been good all year long. Your whole pitching staff has been good all season long. Your hitting is now kind of starting to maybe find its groove a little bit. And the guys that, you know, maybe we didn't expect much from, or we didn't know, like, guys have come out of nowhere. When we've seen guys like, you know, Siegler, you know, Flock of Seagulls come out of nowhere, and you've seen some of these other plays. Like Durbin has kind of turned that corner around. You know, expectations were that he would be a solid major league hitter, and he's showing that, okay, that's what he's been able to do here of late. So you start to look at this team, and I always talk, and you know, I've always been told from the baseball experts, people who know way more about baseball than I do, that the playoffs and postseason is about pitching. And when you have one of the best rotations when it comes to ERA, you have one of the best rotations when it comes to not even rotations, but just pitching staff when it comes to not giving up home runs, like you start to go, all right, why? And then you look around at the rest of the AL. Well, this team is just as good as anybody else.
Yeah.
So my expectations.
They have been of late.
Right.
They have been just as good. Like you went on a 15-game run against good teams mm-hmm. that you are going to face should you get to the playoffs.
Right.
So you ought to be able to continue that, and they've done it without Garrett Crochet, mm-hmm. and they've done it without Roman Anthony, whatever your expectation was.
I would ask this question here to everybody in the room, people listening. Is what we've seen from this team over the past several weeks, you know that I know you love him. He's your number one MC of all time. And when he says, "Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?"
Right. Is this the real Red Sox team that you have seen for the last 3 weeks?
Versus what we saw, you know, the first couple months of the season. And I think that this is, you know, the 15-game win streak. Yeah, that's great. But I think that this is more of what we expected from this Red Sox baseball team. And I don't think if there's somebody out there is like, nah, this ain't really them, well, call up and tell me why. Because you don't perform like this and play as good as they've been playing against good baseball teams when this is, what do they say, them just getting lucky.
Well, here's 978 text. It's not even August yet. And Wiggy, four of those pitchers have never been successful full major league season. Well, I mean, I don't know that that's when he's talking about four of those pitchers. Who is he talking about?
Is he talking about Tolley?
He's talking Early about Tolley, Bennett. Jake Bennett.
You talking about Sandoval? I don't know. I mean, yeah. Suarez, Gray, and Crochet have all had legitimate seasons in the MLB.
Right. Yeah. And I don't look at like, oh, I look at it like if you're performing like this, my expectations are, nothing changes when you get to the postseason. Have that same mindset.
Yeah, this is Mike from East Long Meadow. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Greetings, please, we are being shadowed this morning by our queen. If you could, just a quick hello to her in the background, please.
Okay. Hello. Yes. Hello.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Thank you. She appreciates that.
Just a little criticism of Wiggy, only because this is not the team that they started the year with that they had these high expectations for. There is no Roman Anthony. There mm-hmm. is no Myers. There is no Campbell. All I'm saying, their pitching has been great, no question. But what they did for 14 weeks versus what they did for 3 weeks, I think they're somewhere in the middle. It'll be interesting to see what happens moving forward. But, you know, an old-timer once told me, you're never as good as you look when you're winning
mm-hmm.
or as bad as you look when you're losing. They're somewhere in the middle.
Mike, I would also say, but that team that we saw at the beginning of the season was Willie Abreu, was Sadan Raffaello, was Caleb Durbin.
Was Wilson Contreras.
Was Jaron Duran.
Jaron Duran. Was Yoshida. So there are guys that have been contributing and that have come up and that we've seen here of late. But, you know, Monasterio has been here the whole season. So there's a lot of guys that have been here that are now, some of them are getting back to what they probably normally are.
This is Steve in Quincy. Hey, Steve.
Hey, I couldn't agree with Wiggy more. I think who we saw for the first couple months is probably more who this team is. Like, if you look at the roster, we got a whole bunch of AAA guys that are playing in the majors right now. And the 15-game streak is great and all, but that was really off vibes alone. Like, I don't think that's really talent. And I just couldn't agree more. I don't think this is the roster as it's currently made up is a team that's going to make it deep in the playoffs.
You don't believe they are?
I know. I wish. I mean, unless they make a big move, the pitching's great and all, but like you have like you're 1 through 9 every day. Like half that squad is AAA guys. Like they're guys that got called up from Worcester, and they have the vibes with Tracy, and you know Contreras is doing his thing. But I just don't like 1 through 9. Like you do not match up. If you look, I know it's not played on paper, but look on paper like against the Yankees or the Dodgers or like the elite teams, the Phillies. Like you're not matching up with those guys.
Yeah, I mean, did you hear Chad Tracy on the show yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's gone? Or did you hang up on him? You hung up on him.
No, he's gone.
No, you hung up on him.
No, he's gone.
I saw it.
Greg, I don't have a mouse.
You got to focus.
What are you talking about?
Your focus has been way off.
Lately. What is this? Is this more of your PSYOP approach on
me? Sort of PSYOPs.
He's trying to just beat me down, Wiggs. He's really trying to just knock out all the confidence
I
have in
myself, man.
Just so that he can win tomorrow.
He's getting in your head.
That's how nervous he is. He's so nervous he's attacking me mentally as much as he possibly can.
I really care. I care about it so much that I'm going and playing a practice round today. Oh, wait. No, that's you.
I mean, you played the other day with your boy Pete Kendall.
It's a hard-o move to play.
And Jay Milligan.
Huh?
You played the other day with your guys, Jay Milligan and Pete Kendall.
I played around the golf because I was invited to play at Boston Golf Club.
Mm-hmm.
A practice round?
Yeah, and of course I've never played before.
For the stupid radio match? That's a hard-o move.
No, it's... I mean, I specifically asked beforehand. I asked for clarification. I was like, is it cool if I play a practice round? You and Curtis both were like, yeah, that's fine. So that's what I'm doing.
We should thank Grant and his whole team down there at Lake of Isles, because they've been incredible.
They've been awesome.
And they are putting on an absolute party on Friday morning. So I hope you're coming out. Chime wants a gallery because he is anticipating the gallery is going to be on his side.
I'm hoping.
Underdog. I mean, certainly you're the underdog. I'm assuming
everyone loves an underdog story.
Yes. So, but we're doing the show from hole one at Lake of Isles on Friday morning, and there will be food and there will be beverages.
And did you say we're teeing off like in the last segment of the program?
I think we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I believe that's the way to do it.
All right, perfect. It works for me. I'll be ready. Yeah,
so I can absolutely stripe one down the middle and you can flail away and drop one in the OB right in front.
To be fair, the best shot I had all day the last time we played, Greg, was the first shot of the day. So who knows?
Main texter, you guys are all falling for this again. The 15 wins game win streak was exciting, but this team is junk. Okay. Well,
but I would ask these people, okay.
I don't think the team, real quick,
mm-hmm.
The team was playing like junk. They were not constructed like junk heading into the season. We all looked, when we were crying and whining about it, we were like, Breslow blew it when it comes to the roster. But they are now playing where they should be. And Chad Tracy, before you hung up on that guy, Chad Tracy was talking about the at-bats and the offense and the way that they have been able to manufacture things and are not relying just on dongs. So save that. But
when this team was losing, Greg, Craig Breslow was on here telling you that this team was better than their record. Mm-hmm. Like the nerds would have told you, look at the run differential. They still have a positive run differential for how bad that team was prior to this win streak. Now they have the second best run differential in the entire American League.
I think you've played enough games, and this is why I'd ask the people who don't believe in this team, right? They've played enough games, and you stacked up coming out of the All-Star break against the best team on paper in the AL in the Tampa Bay Rays, and you swept them, and you were able to line up with them, you know, hitter for hitter, pitcher for pitcher. And I always hear Jones and Keith talking about this, and they probably know a lot more than I do. When they start to look at the Tampa Bay Rays and they start to say, look at their talent. Okay, so they get the kid Yandy Diaz, like who's an unbelievable player. And I think they said one more player that they really like. But if you look at that team, right, who in that lineup are you going, oh, that's why you can't compete with the Tampa Bay Rays? Oh, you can't compete with the New York Yankees? Like, I think, all right, Aaron Judge is a great player.
Yeah, but you don't know when he's coming back, but certainly when. And they have a very similar rotation to what you have.
Right.
Like, you can't deny that the Yankees don't have a great
rotation. But so do you. You have a guy like, I think a lot of people look at Wilson Contreras and go, all right, he's a dangerous hitter. He's somebody in the Boston Red Sox lineup that we have to be worried about. And then you got all these other guys in the lineup that have basically been here all season long that are now hitting above what we, when we saw them, we go like, that's not who they are, and they're starting to hit to what we expect them to be.
This is Ed from my adopted home continent of Maine. Hello, Ed.
How you doing, everybody? Hey, listen, I'm with Wiggy 100%. First of all, there's 7 billion people on the planet. 800 can play this game at this level. Tracy's given these kids the confidence that they need. And Wiggy said it before. It's, you know, about being a professional athlete. You got to have the confidence in yourself, and that's what he's pumping into these kids.
Yeah.
And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, he was, he's impressive. Like, I had people telling me yesterday, he just answers the question.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't sit there and think about how he wants to answer a question. He's really impressive. So.